The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Welcome back to We the People. We're just goofing off. Bye, Tom. Thanks a lot.
And yeah, so here we are.
So we're moving from one sheriff's department to the next. But this seemed to be a really important weekend to talk about law enforcement and what's going on in the country with that. And since we just had both sheriffs on, we thought we should revisit with them on this particular topic after the whole Dallas incident and all that. So this hour, we'll be chatting with Sheriff John Lopey from up in Siskiyou County in far, far northern California. He's one county north of the one that we're actually in, borders the Oregon border. So,
And we're working on establishing a better connection. I think that's John calling back.
Oh, I thought he was already in there. Oh, okay.
Third time's the charm.
Well, he's got a whole different set of issues.
First, I gave him the wrong phone number, so I've been incredibly helpful. So let's see. My name is Aaron Ryan.
And Bill Cundiff and Bob Martin.
And Bob Martin is wrangling the phone on the other side. How'd we do?
Much better connection.
Nice.
Third time's the charm. Well, fourth if you count the wrong number I gave.
That's always great. Hey, can you call us? Here's the wrong number.
Gee whiz, I'm helpful. So we just spent the first hour with Sheriff Basenko talking about, some of the stuff in Dallas and what's going on with law enforcement in general. And you guys have had some ugly developments in your county. We talked to you about the whole drug thing here a couple of weeks ago. But you've worked in law enforcement in a lot of different capacities. So
right.
Looking at all this stuff that's going on around the country, what's your take on all this?
Well, Aaron, I've worked in law enforcement for over 38 years, as you know. And I've worked for City Police Department for the Highway Patrol, and obviously in my second term as sheriff. I see it as one of the most challenging times in law enforcement history. Now, law enforcement always goes through these eras where we have difficult times and we adjust accordingly. But I think that it's a combination of things. First of all, our country in many cases in turmoil, especially in the metropolitan areas. The crime rates are astronomical. That's a big problem in not only big cities, but also rural America. It's just a reality we're all facing. I really do believe there's a war on cops right now.
Mm-hmm.
I touched on that during my last show. But, the rhetoric that is sometimes put forth by the media, who often is, and not all media, but much of media is too quick to make, snap judgments or convict police officers before they have all the facts. And quite frankly, this unfortunate development in our country too, a lot of political leaders do that. They jump on the anti-cop bandwagon. It just makes things much worse because I think the respect for law enforcement is diminishing, and that's very alarming.
It is, and I guess what another thing I find interesting about the media is everybody wants to say, oh, the media is a bunch of liars, they never tell the truth, but boy, if something comes out about the police, all of a sudden the media is telling the truth, and I think they just have to really monitor what they say, and not just the media, even like you say, the political leaders a lot of times will step up and say things that are really inflammatory and without basis in fact.
Well, I think you're absolutely right. I mean, even the tragedy that happened in Orlando and God bless those men and women of the Dallas Police Department who rushed to the sound of gunfire and risked their lives, not only for fellow peace officers, but also demonstrators that were there to protest, which is fine. It's a First Amendment right. But, you know, what if some of our political leaders say, well, you know, we need, the police need training, you know, they need to reorient themselves. They, you know, then they jump on the gun control bandwagon, and, you know, they're failing to see that, you know, the real problems associated with this kind of violence. And quite frankly, I said it last time I was on your show, is this rhetoric and this anti-cop, you know, trend that is permeating a lot of the false narratives out there by the media and also by some of our political leaders is endangering cops. And I haven't seen this kind of disrespect, you know, for law enforcement professionals, since I've been in law enforcement. And I worked in Los Angeles back in the 70s. And we had some rough times down there, but generally speaking, law enforcement were universally respected, and people recognized that, hey, you know what, when a cop does something inappropriate, there are many, many processes in place to make sure that the case is properly investigated, proper action is taken to call that individual out of the organization or to take appropriate disciplinary action.
Has that changed during your career? You know, I mean, you talk about the blue wall and some of those kinds of things, and I think I think at one point in time, you know, really everybody did cover for everybody else. Is that really happening today as much? Seems like it'd be a lot harder.
Well, I can't tell you that law enforcement, I mean, we rally around each other, and we have to protect each other because, like in rural counties, we rely on federal, state, and local law enforcement, you know, officials and officers and deputies and wardens and everybody to help us out because we need that help. But the, you know, overall, the profession has progressed to such a point where we all recognize the importance of community-oriented policing. We recognize the importance of recognizing, you know, diversity, and we know people are different. I mean, guys like me, I've worked in places like Los Angeles and Oakland. I've worked all over California in many different environments. I've worked overseas, have assisted police in foreign nations. We all recognize the importance of treating people with dignity and respect. But, you know, right now that isn't necessarily in many cases extended to law enforcement officers. And I would say universally, you know, this is not the way it was, you know, law enforcement, the profession wasn't the way it was, you know, almost 40 years ago. I started the academy 39 years ago this month, but I became a reserve police officer before that. And I would say that the vast majority of law enforcement officials and peace officers of every stripe is going to do the right thing under the right circumstances. And, you know, we don't cover up for you know, the inappropriate activity or inappropriate conduct, excessive force or corruption. We don't, you know, we don't tolerate that.
Yeah. Back in the day, I would imagine, you know, before all the cameras and the scrutiny and the sharing of information, I mean, it might have been easy to be a bad guy in your line of work, maybe move from place to place, but we live in a super interconnected world. I mean, it's pretty hard to hide anymore. So if you're if you're really heavy-handed or, you know, do bad things, I wouldn't imagine you'd last very long.
No, and I think most, I've been in Southern California, and I just talked to a guy who works in the Bay Area, and they have body cameras. And I think most peace officers recognize body cameras or video cams. Like when I was on the highway patrol, we got video cams. You know, we had some people complaining about it. I said, hey, you know what? If you're doing your job right, you're being professional, then you have nothing to worry about. And I would assume that you're being videotaped most of the time. And I think that most peace officers are smart, they're professional, and they realize that. But that's a two-edged sword. I think that a lot of the media outlets, first of all, I'm not going to lie, they're left-leaning, a lot of them.
Oh, sure.
They don't give us a chance. They're quick to judgment, as some of our politicians are. and they jump out there and they make inflammatory statements that are incendiary and just fan the flames of discontent instead of telling people, hey, look, you know, you have to wait for these investigations to be completed. And even videos can be very misleading, like this that one in Minnesota. You know, you have to hold judgment because we don't really know what happened. We're just the media was relying on the girlfriend of that victim, and it was a tragic incident. But you have to hold judgment until you get all the facts. And another thing about you know, the video and the social media is information gets out there so fast that a lot of it is false information or inaccurate information, and people have a tendency, and some of these media sources and some of these politicians have a tendency to excoriate law enforcement. And I can tell you that I don't know anybody in my department who would act inappropriately in a similar situation. You know, they're professional. We have tried to diversify our organizations, you know, for decades. And this premise that the typical cop is racist just is a false and unfair narrative, because you know, these cops are screened. I mean, what profession do you have to go through a psychological test, and you have to go, you know, you have so many you have a extensive background investigation, and in many organizations they only take about 1% of the people that apply, maybe 10% in some organizations. So, you know, we call out the people that have a potential to doing these inappropriate things. And we have a great departmental psychologist, and we do not hire people who have these tendencies for the most part.
Sure. And
when they do happen, we take appropriate action.
Yeah, and anymore, the information in the past, it was your resume that you would print and take in, that kind of thing. It was a little bit harder to get information about folks. Let's take a really quick break here, and we will come right back with Sheriff John Lopie out of Siskiyou County, and we're talking about law enforcement today, just in general, and what they face now being, I don't know, under fire, I guess, for lack of a better term. You're listening to We the People Radio. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us.
Try to see it my way. Do I have to keep on talking till I can go on? Why do you see it your way? Run the risk of knowing that our love may soon be gone. We can work it out. We can work it out. Think of what you're saying. You can get it wrong. We can work it out and get it straight. I'll say goodnight. We can work it out.
I like that. Or say goodnight. At the end of the day, if the police pull you over, do what they say and then fight it out in court later.
I think I can't. I just never understand. We talked about this, John, last hour with Sheriff Pasenko, that, you know, you have these people who want to, they don't feel like they're being pulled over for something that they did or whatever the thing is, and they want to fight it out right there. And that's just a dumb idea.
Yeah, absolutely. The best thing to do is just comply, and then you know, there are so many processes in place. There's you know, like for a citation, there's trial by declaration. You could appear in court. You know, there's in some cases you can go to traffic school. You know, and there's nothing wrong with asking the officer, you know, what he or she observed, and you know, why you're stopped. I mean, you should be advised why you're stopped if you're detained, and you know, the vast majority of peace officers will accommodate you in that regard.
Yeah, we also came to a universal agreement that running was a bad idea.
Yeah, running is definitely not a good idea.
running seems to never work out, and yet we still see them on TV. There is running. Not very good.
Right. And most judges don't like it either.
Yeah, no kidding.
Well, John, you were referring earlier to the situation. I think it was in Minnesota where the gentleman got shot. He had a gun. And when you think about it, if you have a weapon And
even if it's legal.
Even if it's a legal weapon and you're stopped and questioned by police, why would anybody in their right mind want to argue and be combative at that point? I mean, that's just never going to work out. And it amazes me that when something like that happens, the first thing the media does is jump on the police.
Yeah, it's that's very alarming. It's happened locally, you know, to us before, you know, some of the media sources. And again, you're taking one side of the story. And this thing, it may have been an appropriate use of force. I don't know. You know, I wasn't there. But, again, there's always an investigation that ensues, a comprehensive criminal investigation in every officer-involved shooting case, and there's an administrative investigation that parallels that criminal investigation to determine, you know, whether or not policy procedures and regulatory provisions were followed. And we're only getting the girlfriend's perspective on this.
And she seems
super, you know, you do have to be very, very careful. Even if you have a CCW permit, you should dispose of the fact you have the weapon, keep your hands in plain sight, and follow the directions of the police officer.
Yeah, because, I mean, even with her video, obviously he was being combative, you know, whether he went for his gun or not. I mean, we don't know. We can't tell from that. But the fact is he was not complying with their orders. I mean, I think he got tased before all that happened too, didn't he?
Right. Well, you know, you have to comply. I mean, that's the bottom line. You have to comply. And the peace officer... you know, we have so many people. I think drugs are causing a lot of these problems.
Yeah.
You know, alcohol and drugs have always been, you know, the downfall of many people. But whether it's drugs or alcohol or it's mental health or just a bad attitude, you never know. But peace officers are placed in a very, very dangerous situation every time they detain an individual or stop a car. Because they don't know who they're dealing with in most cases.
No, you're right.
And many of these situations involving the deadly use of force, first of all, they're very volatile and they're rapidly evolving. So a lot of times a police officer doesn't have a lot of time to make decisions. And I'd like to add that Tom Basenko might have mentioned this, is we are seeing a record number of peace officers assaulted and killed by firearms in this country. So it's getting much more dangerous out there. You know, Siskiyou County alone in less than a year has had 4 fatal officer-involved shootings, which is just unprecedented. Last week we had a double homicide in our county. Things are dangerous out there. And with realignment and Prop 47, and all these other developments in the state of California, law enforcement has never been so challenging, in my opinion.
What happens after, you know, after a thing like Dallas? What do you see ripple through the law enforcement community? Because I know you deal with the police department in the town. You know, you're in the sheriff's office, but you also deal with highway patrol and all these other guys. What do you see as a response to all that?
Well, first of all, we all grieve. Everybody wearing a badge, whether you're federal, state, or local, we grieve every time a peace officer is killed in action or grievously wounded. We all grieve, and we grieve for the families because I've known people that have been killed in the line of duty that wear a badge. I've had friends killed, and it is a catastrophic loss that not only society suffers, but also all peace officers suffer, and certainly that organization. Dallas, I think, is fortunate because they have a very professional organization, and I think they have, it sounds like they have a great chief. I really like what that chief has done, you know, to support his troops. But a lot of times, even if you have a strong chief, you know, the police officers have to feel they have support. And morale drops when first of all, when we don't think that we're getting the proper recognition and respect. And this is kind of a trend that has transcended the entire country. And even though we have great citizens in Siskiyou County and Shasta County, and we generally don't feel the brunt as bad as like metropolitan law enforcement agencies, but it's still really, it impacts us all. And we look at these situations, and something that happened there theoretically could happen just about anywhere. You know, San Bernardino can happen anywhere, Orlando can happen anywhere, and we're all concerned about it. And that, you know, we have Interstate 5 passing through our counties. So, you know, people with these ideologies, or these attitudes, or this disrespectful demeanor, you know, we can encounter these people at any time. And there are some people in our county that have those kind of perspectives. Unfortunately, just a real small percentage.
Sure. But I-5 is the major thoroughfare between Mexico and Canada, really. I mean, so you have drugs, indeed. You have human trafficking, you have all sorts of things.
Yeah, it's one of the major drug corridors in the whole country. And we all feel endangered. We all feel wounded by these attacks because, you know, cops are cops. And I would like to just see our senior officials, national and state, and local stand up and, you know, generally we get the support from our local officials and, you know, Doug LaMoffa is great, as you know, Congressman LaMoffa and I think Assemblyman Dowie and Jim Nielsen, and we have, Senator Gaines. So, you know, they're very, very supportive of law enforcement, but we need a national narrative that reverses this trend.
Yeah, where the president
that supports law enforcement. And their families, because just think what the families go through. Look at this Baltimore debacle, what those poor cops and their families are going through. And it's felt all over the nation, I can guarantee you that.
Well, those guys, like let's say you are, you know, chasing a criminal and something bad happens and all that. Well, then you got to worry that they're going to come after your family and everything else. So...
Right.
I think it's got to create, especially in these heavy urban areas, it's got to create some doubt when all of a sudden you go to do your job. It's got to flash through your mind, hey, this could ruin my entire life, potentially, you know, get my family hurt and everything else.
Right. And also, you know, false information is being disseminated by a lot of these pundits on TV. You know, that the vast majority of law enforcement contacts, I did some research, a while back, and like, in a year, there's usually over 60,000 assaults against peace officers. 11,000 of them deal with deadly weapons, you know, used by perpetrators, yet a very small percentage of those, you know, less than 1,000, and a lot of times it's anywhere from 300 to 700 or something like that. Actually results in some type of deadly force used by cops and you know, law enforcement peace officers out there, and you know, that isn't really talked about a whole lot. That, hey, you know what, police peace officers by and large exercise a lot of self-restraint, and they often risk their lives so they don't have to use deadly force. Oftentimes, you know, we try to resort to non-lethal means, but it's all not always feasible.
Sure, you wait too long, and then
right.
Yeah, then you wind up being the victim. So there's a, and it's just seconds. You know, it isn't like everybody gets to sit down and have a big discussion and do, you know, mull over the opportunities to make other choices. I mean, you gotta do it or don't do it. We need to take a really quick break here, and then we will come right back. Like to hear more from you about the different places you worked and kind of the mindset of being law enforcement in those, you know, those different environments. You have a really wide history. We'll be right back with Sheriff John Lopey.
All right.
He's the sheriff out of Siskiyou County. You're listening to We the People. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us.
Explode in the blood against the steel. So, baby. mission. We took you up and we put you in the backseat.
Dominance.
Submission.
Radio's appear.
From year to year, we looked up for the venture.
Dominance.
Submission.
Radio's appear.
Dominance. Submission.
Dominance.
I never heard the line about putting you in the backseat before.
Mission.
Timely.
Submission.
So you're listening to We the People. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us. We always have archives of the shows, information for Bill and I, contact information if you've got ideas for guests or just programs you'd like to, you know, topics you'd like to hear about. If you'd like to sponsor the program, we would love to hear about that. Tons of good information on there. All right. Sheriff Lopie?
Back to, yes, ma'am.
Back to law enforcement. Okay, so in all the different kinds of law enforcement you've done, what do you think's the most? I mean, I'm sure all of them have changed, but now are they all just equally dangerous, or you know?
Well, I think generally speaking, it's getting more dangerous out on the streets, And quite frankly, sometimes the rural areas are more dangerous because in the cities, like when I worked in Los Angeles, you know, you're always attuned to the danger. You know, we had 28 street gangs in a 15 square mile area in East Los Angeles where I work. And you're just always, you know, kind of a heightened level of awareness. You know, sometimes in the rural areas, you know, it can actually be more dangerous. And sometimes perpetrators will take advantage of, you're in an isolated, you may be in an isolated area. Some criminals know that we don't have a lot of backup, and sometimes backup takes a while to reach a peace officer working in some of the rural areas. So it could be just dangerous, you know, in rural areas as opposed to city areas. And I think this general breakdown, lack of respect for law enforcement, and this false narrative that is perpetuated out there by some political leaders and even the media is creating a more dangerous environment for all peace officers, regardless of whether they're federal, state, or local.
John, I think we've all seen it over the past, last 20 years, say, this changing attitude towards law enforcement. In your opinion, what is attributing to that? I know that's a really broad question, but what are the major factors that attribute to people, you know, having a lack of respect for law enforcement?
I think that, I cannot overemphasize the importance of political leaders at all levels standing up, and instead of, because of political expediency or political correctness, automatically attacking peace officers, they need to stand tall, support law enforcement, and remind people that, look, you know, we can't make snap judgments. We can't automatically convict, a peace officer, because of, you know, what we see on a video. And we can't automatically attack a peace officer because he or she may be, not of the same racial orientation as the individual that, force was used against. And that is a big issue too, is, you know, our country is the greatest country in the world. I've been in a lot of foreign countries. I can tell you the United States of America is the very best country. It is an equal, country with a constitution that gives everybody an equal chance to prosper and to be successful. And what we have in this nation now, just in my opinion, is a sense of entitlement that is often reinforced by political leaders, and I hate to keep bagging on the media, and by the media. And then instead of attacking the real problems, like the drugs, and the, in some cases, the alcohol, and the crime, and the gang activity, and just the lack of accountability being demanded of the criminal element, you know, the law enforcement people are attacked, and that's creating you know, huge problems. And I think that you know, we could talk all day about the causes of crime. I think that the economy has a lot to do with it, because in rural counties, you know, we've been stripped of our ability to employ people, you know, give them good jobs, you know, with timber and timber industry and ranching and farming and, you know, mining and things like that. And in the cities, the unemployment rate in the cities is something like 60% for young African Americans. And I think that creates a lot of hostility because people don't have a good job, and what do? You know, some of them gravitate towards, you know, entitlements, and the big city, I'll tell you, the inner city is a huge challenge in America because of the policies that have been enacted and maintained over the last three or four decades. And with the economy, it just it makes things much worse. So what do people have a tendency to do? They have a tendency to lash out at the police because we're out there trying to maintain order.
Sure, and it makes, I guess, jobs, if you will, in the drug industry a lot more attractive. You know, you have some folks that would have done that anyway, but I guess when people's backs are up against the wall, you know, sometimes they'll choose that kind of thing, which puts them at odds with law enforcement.
Well, values, you know, values that made our country great are, I think, being diminished. I think that this proliferation of marijuana and methamphetamine and now, you know, heroin and prescription drugs, and there's just so many problems that I think that aren't being properly dealt with, and then everything falls on the police. And you know, political leaders, I think, sometimes don't recognize what the real problems are either. And it reminds me of, and I mentioned this last time, it reminds me of when I was in the Marine Corps during the Vietnam era, and the Vietnam War was winding down, and there was so much disdain you know, directed towards those brave men and women that fought Vietnam, and really they were just doing what they were asked to do. And peace officers, in a similar fashion, are, first of all, they're better trained, they're better educated, and many of them have a wide breadth of experience. You know, all the law enforcement agencies in the North State, I think, are great departments, whether you're talking about the sheriff's offices or the police departments. And in post the police officer standards of training in California, you know, we have some of the highest standards in the country. And again, if people know what to do, they know what to do that's appropriate of the circumstances. And I think we're better prepared than a lot of other jurisdictions outside the state. But then again, when people step out of line, we have a huge menu of appropriate action to take to either correct the behavior, retrain the individual, or remove them from the law enforcement agency they work for. I mean, the law enforcement vocation is one of the most accountable professions, I mean, in the country. And you know, people are continuously held to higher standards than most other professions.
Are you seeing any people, you know, I mean, whether it's in your county or just, you know, I know you communicate with people all over the place, but are you seeing guys rethink, you know, how long they're going to stay in law enforcement?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Another thing, yeah. I'll tell you that one of the biggest impacts of these, first of all, these killings, the worst murder of peace officers in California history that I'm aware of is the Newhall incident that happened back in 70 or 71, where four highway patrolmen were killed in a shootout in Newhall. And I knew people that were in the academy. There were actually people that quit the academy, three. Not because they wanted to, but because their families urged them to. I mean, this kind of treatment towards law enforcement and the false narratives that are being, reinforced out there, it hurts recruitment, it hurts retention, and it really hurts our ability to find and promote the best people in many cases, because some people are saying, well, gosh, this law enforcement, it doesn't look really good right now. Maybe I had to go into business or engineering or you know, get a job somewhere else. And it is definitely hurting us. When I came into law enforcement, it was tough to get a law enforcement job. And now, most departments are having a very, very difficult time recruiting and retaining qualified people for their ranks.
Well, it's unfortunately a thankless job. I mean, people, I'm sure your officers are no different than most of them, and how often do they actually get thanked for what they do on a daily basis?
Well, you know, I wanted to mention, I have received calls from Siskiyou County residents, many of them prominent citizens, telling me that, hey, would you tell your men and women that we really support them and that we're sorry about that tragic incident in Dallas, and we support you, and we know that you all work hard, you risk your lives continuously for us, we know you're professional, and just tell your men and women that we really appreciate them. And that's,
wow.
You know, conversely, we get a lot of that
good
favorable feedback, but I do have guys and gals that work for the department that are telling me that, you know, and other agencies are telling me that they have people that as soon as they're eligible, they're bailing out.
Yeah, that's what I wondered, because it's a little bit like Obamacare, you know, when that came in. You saw a lot of physicians go, you know what, this is becoming ridiculous and thankless. And it's, yeah, we make good money, but if we can't really do our job, we don't want to do it. And in your line of work, heck, if they're going to, you know, I mean, if they're going to be stalked by weirdos, more than normal.
Well, and also, you have to remember that law enforcement, like a lot of jobs, the longer you're on the job, the more valuable you become.
That's the bad part.
With training and experience, I mean, you become a very valuable part of, in what a lot of cases is a very small team.
Yeah, so you lose the guys with all the experience. We better take one last quick break, and then we will come back and finish out the top of the hour with Sheriff John Lopey. Any thoughts you have for us and ways people can support law enforcement besides not running and not doing something stupid when they get pulled over? That would be primary. We'll be right back.
Talk to. If a man ever needed dying, he did. No one had the right to say what he said about you. And it's so cold and lonely here without you. Out there the laws are coming. I'm getting so tired of running. Indiana wants me. Lord, I can't go back there. Indiana wants me. Lord, I can't go back there. I wish I had you to talk to.
No one understood what I felt for Mary. No one cared until the night you went out walking all alone and never came home. Morning, here was I surrounded by a thousand fingers suddenly pointed right at me. I swear I left her by the river. I swear I left her safe and sound.
Got a lot of songs about the Midwest today. We're just sort of Midwest focused.
Yeah, it's kind of Jesse James kind of a territory.
Yeah, maybe that's it.
Yeah,
focused on Dallas, living on the West Coast, playing songs from the Midwest. I'm sure some psychiatrist out there is having a field day with this whole thing. All right, so John, what else do we need to let people know?
Well, I think first of all, thank a cop. You know, be thankful for the law enforcement agencies that service you in your respective jurisdictions. secondarily, you know, hold your politicians and also the news media accountable when they put out negative or false narratives out there about law enforcement. Thirdly, a lot of our problems stem from underfunding. A lot of us have lost many of our people and resources through the years. My department's lost probably 30% in the last 10 to 15 years because of, you know, funding shortfalls. You know, we're trying to get this new jail, and that may even fall through. And other than that, just stay aware of what's going on in your local communities and support local law enforcement. Just support the men and women of law enforcement. Also, I got to say that it's not just the peace officers out there. It's the dispatchers. It's the, you know, it's our fiscal clerks, our records clerks. You know, every, you know, our the employees in the jail, everybody suffers when these issues occur because they deal with the public every day. The guys that work in the courts, you know, the gals, you know, the dispatchers, the men and women that take the dispatch calls. All law enforcement is injured when these things happen, and their families do too. And remember that there are ramifications for this, and we want to recruit and retain the very best. And without public support and the support of our political leaders and to a lesser extent the media, it's not going to happen.
Yeah, I totally agree. And when you know, we've for 8 years now, you know, we've watched, you know, we've watched the president just a constant narrative of race baiting and anti-law enforcement, and I can't imagine that has been helpful.
No.
I mean, that's a big megaphone.
It's very debilitating and damaging, and especially when it's not true. I mean, I think that law enforcement is more enlightened than they've ever been, and we all recognize we judge an individual by their character and not what they look like. And I can tell you that's pretty much universal in all law enforcement agencies I deal with and all my great coworkers. I can tell you that's universal.
Sure, because you couldn't, if this was all really race-based, where did they suddenly find all these racist people that just suddenly jumped out of the woodwork and became police? I mean, that's silly.
Yeah.
Things don't turn that fast in an industry. You know, they didn't all just go bad all of a sudden.
No.
But the bad part is people remember what they first hear about these different stories, and then when the truth eventually comes out, it's a little bit like the retraction on page 12, you know.
And we don't have an equal voice. You know, a few weeks ago when I had that inaccurate information was put in the record searchlight as an example, and I talked to the editor, Mr. Smith, about how inaccurate that article was and that terrible editorial they did. That, you know, they only dealt with one side. They didn't get all the facts. And, I have yet to receive any response from that. And that's just an example of where they could throw this inaccurate information out there, and 90% of it can be inaccurate. And what recourse do we have because the damage has already been done? And then, most of the time they're not even willing to give you a call back or actually, you know, even when they tell you they're going to investigate the situation and make it right. You know, they don't even do that.
That's the power of the press. You know, they can apologize privately, but publicly, people will never hear it.
Well,
yeah. So,
and at the end of the day, when we're all in trouble, you know, we call you guys. So
yeah, and you know what? We're going to be there, and I'm going to be there, and I don't care who it is.
Yeah.
You know, and my people are like that. We're going to help anybody. And that was the case when I was in East LA. That's the case now in Siskiyou County. And we're going to risk our lives and put our lives on the line to protect our citizens. I don't care what they look like or where they come from. We're going to do that each and every time. And I just wish that, all these, critics would remember that. And that the very bravest our country has, in my opinion, is in the military and in law enforcement. And I don't know one man or woman that would risk their lives for virtually anybody in my county under very dangerous circumstances. I've seen it.
Yeah, we really appreciate all the men and women in uniform that are doing a great job. And so we thought, you know, today would be a good day to really get that word out there and give you guys the platform to get your message put forward.
Right. And we so appreciate you doing so, because a lot of the media outlets are not willing to
support law enforcement.
We greatly appreciate, believe me, and so do our families.
We thank you for what you do, John, and your men and women up there. We know you're working hard, and we know you've got a tough situation, but keep up the good work.
Yep, and our hearts go out to the folks in Dallas. That was a lousy deal, and we hope it stops there. Thank you very much, Sheriff Lopey. We will chat with you again, I am sure. Have a wonderful day.
Thank you. God bless you.
Thanks.
Semper Fi.
Bye. Thanks a million. All right, folks. We will be back next week with another super interesting show. We just don't know what the topic is yet. Find us online, wethepeopleradio.us.